Bill and I both shared Rita Sperling Rogers, and my good friends Franklin and Linda here today surprised me today for the first time. We were in that organization together, and all of our hearts were touched by Rita. And I can't remember a lot of details as the years go on about Rita. I don't have much detail left about exactly the lessons, but I can remember the essence. I can always remember essence. And one of the things that mattered most to her and one of the things that she communicated was the incredible importance of raising, and she called it your self-love quotient, just raising your love quotient. And some, I've said it so much over the years that I've even, in the 100 class now, when I do the old curriculum, the first 8 weeks, I call it raising your love quotient. And I ask my students always to begin with that. And the reason why I do that, and this is a good analogy for any gardeners in the room, that if you are a gardener, you know that the very first thing you do if you're about to garden is you take care of the soil. You never just go out and buy plants, not if you really know what you're doing. You first take the time to touch the soil and see how alive it is. And if it's not, you have to work the soil for a while until it's capable of producing incredible fruit. Your self-love, your quotient of self-love, self-acceptance, self-respect is that soil. And unless you take the time to cultivate that in many ways, in an infinite number of ways, because for however many people that are in the room, that's the different amount of ways and more that it could be done. But unless you cultivate this self-love and the soil that is your soul, anything you try to put on top of it will be you trying to enthusiastically grow. It's like you'll be trying to fluff up your feathers on a foundation that's not strong. You know, enthusiasm is good to get you started, to kick you out of the gate, to get you going. But it is discipline that will carry you the rest of the way. And when you learn to love yourself, you are actually cultivating a type of discipline of self-love. You cannot accomplish the things you want to accomplish in this life from a place of self-deprecating habits. Anybody do that? Right? Just your self-doubt is a form of it. How do I know, or how will you know if you're carrying more of these habits than maybe might be obvious? How do you treat others? You can never treat yourself better than you treat another. And you can never love yourself more, or you can never love another more than you can love yourself. It is all from here, folks. I love this book, Rick Bear, Real Love. You know, I have a lot of books, but not as many as Joel, okay? He's the king of having books around here. And many books I've gotten to, and then some sit on my shelf, and I feel like sometimes I absorb their good, right, literally through the pages just by having them on my shelf. I really mean that. I actually do mean that. And sometimes I pick up and I just go through, and then finally I go back, and then I dip into it more. And this has been one that I've read parts of, but I didn't get to all of it. And today or yesterday when I was preparing, oh, I get to more of it, and he is just beautiful. And he has a standard of love that is so magnificent. I want you to get this. I want you to read this. I really want you to read this book. So he says, faith is a decision you make to tell the truth about yourself, even when it is uncertain what may happen. Faith is a decision you make to tell the truth about yourself, even when it is uncertain what may happen. honesty, radical honesty, takes a lot of courage. Takes a lot of courage to say you've made a mistake unless you have cultivated that way of being in the world. Unless you have moved into an authentic way of being, and everybody expects that from you, to cross over into admitting your wrongs. And when I say wrongs, I just mean mistakes. Or when you know you've actually maybe haven't thought as high of someone. It's not easy to cross over, but to be willing to cross over, to be willing to be authentic, and to be willing to say what is without anticipating the response is a powerful way to be in this world. He talks about a term I'd never really heard before. He talks about getting and protecting behaviors. And so what this is referring to is when I want to get your love. So I play in a behavior to get your love and get your attention. Now, it doesn't matter if it's real, if it doesn't matter if it's deep, it doesn't matter if it's authentic. It's just that when we're hungry and when we have this empty space, I just want to get you. Just would you please think I'm something? Could you please just think that I'm something? Now, all of it is not necessarily full when we do those. And then what happens is, if you don't think I'm something, then I'm going to protect myself. So many of us have had these habits where we go to get love and get attention and get approval, often not based on something solid and grounded. And then what happens is, if I can't quite get it, then I protect myself and I might just turn from you. Maybe I'll cease socializing with you because you're not loving me the way I am. Well, how could you if I'm not loving me the way I am? Your self-love, and to the capacity that you increase your self-love to that degree, you will enjoy the fruits of life. Anybody in my classes knows what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you've been around, you know. Because I push this point. As we feel unconditionally loved, we lose our emptiness and fear. And then we no longer have a need for getting and protecting behaviors. When we stop lying, being angry, attacking people, acting like victims, and running our relationships can only become more loving and rewarding. Only when we love ourselves enough to go through the fire of that the baptism that burns away all of the way that humanity, we have an agreed way of being. And it's not always very pretty, but it might be polite. And it goes back to bless your little heart. We know how to behave so that it looks good. Well, what if you didn't care about looking good? What if you were just willing to talk to each other and say what is? What if you were willing to say to someone in the midst of a difficult conversation, man, I'm really struggling with this, but I need to talk to you. What if you took away that part that was difficult and just showed up full? Can you imagine? Yes? No? May imagine being in the fullness of your being and saying what is. Now, it's funny. I just want you to notice. Everyone here today, there was a request that we all fill in all the spaces. So there was no separation. But still, look at the demographics of the room. We still have spaces. And some of that is due to how we can or cannot or feel safe to be present. Some of us still are not feeling safe to be present and safe to be touched and safe to be seen. It's the getting and protecting mechanism. You understand? But to the degree that you love you, life changes. Some of you are really enjoying the love letters that you've been receiving every morning. And if you're not receiving them and you want to, there's a sign-up list out there. So for every day for the month of February, people are just receiving a letter of love. Pretty cool, right? You're enjoying them? Those who get them? Good. Okay. Not often enough, though, do we place ourselves in a situation where we're willing to love because we're too afraid of getting hurt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You won't quite say something because you don't want to feel the rejection. But if the fully orbed you was in place, if the part of you where you were loving your being, what you are and what you are not, because face it, and I've said this before, I can love myself as much as I am, but I will never be a 5'10" blue-eyed blonde. I'm going to have to love this. This is my spaceship this time around. And so we all have different space suits. I should say suits, not ships. We all have different space suits this time around. Maybe it's a ship. I don't really know. However, I am navigating through this lifetime in this physical body. Love it. It's yours. If you don't love it, do something about it, or just love yourself the way you are. But it is absolutely imperative that we get to that increased self-love. Okay. I want you for a moment, if you will, I'm going to do a little exercise. Yes? We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to think for a moment something you've heard in your lifetime as a criticism about you. Let yourself just be aware for a moment of something you heard, and even though part of you didn't want to believe it, and you might have fought against it, and you might have argued against it, and it might go back to mommy and daddy. You might say, you know, but it left its impression. Just in your mind, think of one or two or three of these things. Got them? Now, follow me for a second. Think of the people you have difficulty with in your lifetime. Do any of the people you have difficulty with have similar qualities? Yes, no? I hear a giggle of recognition. Anyone else? Do you see a pattern that those things that you have housed, you have then found through other people in order to heal? Yes? Are the rest of you sleeping, or do you not find that? I'm saying that the qualities that you have that have not been comfortable for you, things that you were critiqued as a child. Like my father, he let me know that I was stupid. That was a big sting for me. And so that shows up for me, that self-criticism, it shows up for me in the relationships that I have. Not that I go out with stupid people, I don't mean that. But that issue and that lack of self-confidence will show up. So that which we have housed, that we adopted from someone else, we then utilize other people to heal. You got the concept? Even if you don't get it now, do you have the concept? Okay. So now what I want you to do, I want you to close your eyes again. And I want you to put your hands on your heart. Clive, could I have a little thank you? Now, this was the time, if you're sitting alone, I really would like you not to sit alone. However, you're on your own. The invitation was, and if you want to take a moment to sit next to somebody, I'd be so pleased. Put your hands on your heart and get present to yourself right now. Get fully, fully present. Now, if you're close enough to somebody, I don't care if you know them or not, you can let your elbows touch. Just feel the connection. Because right now, we're going to depend upon the connection. We're going to depend upon that human vibration that is so beautiful. So just let yourself connect. Now, just for a quick moment, only for a quick moment, bring again to mind those few things, the one, two, or three things that you thought of. And this time, and I mean no sarcasm with this, bless them. bless them and bless the person that delivered them to you. Bless them. And take that person into your heart. It might have been a teacher, might have been a minister. It might have been a friend, a sibling, a mom, a dad, a grandparent. Take that person and just let them into your heart and bless them and love them, because they know not what they do. They didn't know. If they knew, they would not have. I promise you that. So take a moment to forgive them and forgive the message. And now, in a practice of radical honesty, if you have then delivered any similar messages to anyone else, if you have delivered that message to a child, to a friend, if out of your frustration you have been the carrier of that, forgive yourself. For you knew not what you did in that moment. Forgive yourself. Let your heart just feel full and safe. And let yourself feel loved. For spirit does not look down upon us and judge. Love does not judge. Love gently holds out its hand so that you can move past these things. So forgive yourself. Forgive those who deliver the message. And forgive yourself for using them against you. Because basically that's what you've done. You used someone's unskilled behavior, and you chose to believe it. So free them. I promise you, if they were in their knowing, they never would have. So let this love expand your heart. And let your own love quotient expand and increase. I promise you, as this love increases, you will treat yourself better. You will make better decisions. You will make healthier decisions. You will only allow relationships that honor this place in your heart. You will not stand for abuse, and you will not abuse. You will not use language against another, and you won't use it against yourself if you could just keep touching this place. Breathe into it right now. Breathe into the space. And breathe a sigh of gratitude into the room. When you're ready, open your eyes. The very last time you did something you regretted. Wouldn't you have not done that if in the moment you could have managed not to? Wouldn't you? So I want to tell you quickly, I'm going to be over time. I'm going to tell you quickly two important things that I've been sharing in my classes. Because I've been plagued my entire life with two beliefs that were negative, limiting, and destructive in my life. The one belief has plagued me so deeply, and that is that I'm wrong. I don't mean that I make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. But that I'm wrong, that my beingness is wrong. And if you walked into the room, and I haven't even met this gentleman yet, but if you walked in the room and you looked unhappy, I was so messed up about it, I thought I did something. That's how extreme this feeling of being wrong was. It was like I was wrong to be walking on the earth. Now, you might not relate to that, but I know what that feels like. I couldn't even walk down the block when we lived in Florham Park because I felt so wrong. Okay? And the other thing was, I just had a deep belief, I don't know where it came from, that you were against me. And I don't mean you specifically, but that people in general. And some things happen. I've been working on this for years. I've prayed with my practitioners. I've prayed with my prayer partners. I have done my work. And I'm telling you, finally, there has been a movement, and I am no longer wrong. I'm no longer wrong, and I truly believe in my heart and soul that you are not against me, even if you think you are. Because somebody might think they're against you. They might not like what you're doing, and there might be da-da-da-da-da. But at the soul level, they are not against you. I know at a soul level, you are not against me. And let me tell you about freedom that comes from those kind of realizations. This is the work that we do. This is the result of self-love. This is why you're here, if you realize it or not. You're here to have that increase of self-love be so huge and so dynamic that you can walk into a room amongst total strangers and feel fully safe and seen and loved, even if it's only in your own space. That is what we're here to do on this earth, I believe. That's what I'm here to do. I realize I'm here to carry this message from Rita, because that was Rita's message. Rita's message was love. And I realize that's what I'm here to do. And hopefully, that's what you get when you walk into the room, when you walk across the threshold, when you come into the classes, and when you come here on Sunday. Hopefully, that's what you get. And so it is. Thank you. Holding this offering in my hand, I bless it with my love. Allow it to go forth to multiply and do good. I accept the return blessing of my generosity, knowing I can never outgive love. Love bless this center and our community, and may I be a walking example of good to the world around me. And so it is.